Okay, we have a bunch of co-hosts. That always makes it more interesting. Okay, let's begin. Are some of you, many of you, in back in yeshiva? Eitan's like shaking his head yes and no.
Meaning there were like, I don't know, like eight, nine guys here, probably.
You're at 501?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say it looks like 501 out the window.
And yeah.
Okay, but there, that those that's where you are. There are eight guys there now. Were there are there a lot of people there in general, or not so much yet?
Not so much yet. Yeah, not so much yet.
Okay, again, my intention is to try to be that we should try to be there. I should try to be there Tuesday. Okay, I can't be before that, but I think I have to take a test and all that just to. But again, whatever's working for people, and we can discuss it. But hopefully, as things stand now, we're hoping that we have a live share or hybrid share this coming Tuesday. Do they have Wi-Fi in 501?
Yes.
Yeah, and a microphone, or we don't know that yet.
It looks like there's one.
Okay, they have a screen, so we could do the hybrid. Yeah.
As of now, no, but I assume it's not hard to get one.
Okay. Very good. Okay, so let's begin, and we'll see. One second. Are there some people in the waiting room here? Okay. Right. All right. Let's begin. Again, we need to move more. Start to move more quickly, now that we're finished with the Hakdama part. Okay, so let's talk about the topic that we're in. And again, you should start already preparing. Again, the Bdika Bittul Bal Yira, that's going to be a big theme that's going to be recurring. So you should be aware of that. But also just start, going through the Shaka Vitaria. Look also at that first Raivin al Arif. I'm going to speak briefly again about Yom and Laila. It also fits into the Parsha, last week's Parsha, obviously, Bereishis. That's a massive topic about Zmanim and Yom. Maybe we could do that on a Monday sometime, although our next Monday is going to be continuation of Tzelem Elokim. But just start, Gemara, Rashi, Tosis, Rambam, and I'll give you other things to look at in the Shaka V'Tariya. But we want to speak a little bit about Yom of Laila. We want to speak a little bit about, for sure, the Isur of Malacha on Yud Daled. But that's part of a much bigger topic. I'm just going to touch on it here quickly so you're aware of it. And at some point during the year, we're going to expand on it. The idea that I've already mentioned, I think, which is that the day of the bringing of the Korban Pesach is already the beginning of the Yom Tov, or that it's a Yom Tov Bifnei Atzmo, or Miktsas Yom Tov Bifnei Atzmo. That's kind of a bridge. I always like to call it that the day of Yudalid, either the whole day or starting from the middle of the day, is what we really call Chag HaPesach in Mikra. But I always like to kind of formulate it that Chag HaPesach is also the bridge or the introduction to Chag HaMatzos. So the question of the status of the day, how that relates to the Isra of Shehiyas Chametz, and things like Isra Malacha and Halel, I believe, are very, very crucial to that. So just, think about that a little bit as you go through the Shaka V'Tariya. But we want to get through the Shaka V'Tariya pretty quickly to get, to the meatier parts of the parak. But for now, let's continue our discussion of the Bedikah. Again, the background, of course, is that the background is the discussion of Rashi and Tosis, which triggered a response by the other Rishonim and Achronim. And that is that Rashi says that Bedikas Chametz is L'shem Bal Yira Bal Yimatzeh. And Tosis denied it. Tosis said that it's a din derabanan, it's a siag derabanan against achilas chametz, but that in principle, it sounds like Tosis thinks that bedika has zero effect on bayro baymatze. Okay, and what we were trying to suggest, and this is what I want to follow through with now, is that in principle, bedikas chametz could have effect on the Bayur Arba'im Matzei, but that needs to be examined, whether it does or whether it doesn't. Both, you know, both perspectives need to be examined, broadly speaking, right, in two, on two levels. One level is the dinim klalim, you know, of Kol HaTorah Kula. Like, we are interested in knowing whether or not bidika might have some sort of, might be some sort of factor in dictating, you know, whether things like ones or misasek will apply, you know, to the case of chametz. That, of course, presupposes a bigger issue, and that is, you know, not whether bidika is the difference, you know, in determining something to be ones or a kind of misasek or a kind of misasek, but whether ones and misasek in those categories are relevant to Bal Yiroa to begin with. Right? Does it make sense that those categories would apply? If the answer to that is yes, then the next question is, what determines ones and misasek when it comes to this question? You know, maybe just, you know, your lack of awareness that you're violating. Maybe that alone, right? Or is it possible, this is something I'm suggesting, and we'll see if there's proof for it, that, you know, Bedikas Chametz plays a role in that way. If the answer, you know, to 1A, namely Onus Misasek, are categories that are relevant here, is yes. And the answer to 1B is that, you know, Bedika may play a role in that. What you might say, in other words, is Bedika doesn't help you, or Bedika is unnecessary, as opposed to Bedika is the difference. Okay. But either way, we would then be saying, if we were to take that, you know, 1A yes, 1B yes, you know, then Bedika wouldn't be Tashbisu. It wouldn't be a Chametz din. It would just be a din that affected by Yiroa D'oraisa, right? Because it triggers, you know, the Dvarim HaKlalim. Okay, so that is very different than taking, you know, a whole different perspective in analyzing this broader question. Okay, so the broader question being not only about Bedikah, to make it clear, but what are the circumstances, right, in terms of, you know, having Chametz being in your Rishus on Pesach, what are the circumstances that trigger or that constitute, you know, violation of Bayur Arba'im Matzeh? Okay, the sub question is, and does Bedika make a difference for that? So if we take it away from the universal or the klali, the onus, the misasek, and they may not be the same, but let's treat them, you know, we don't want to get too far afield. So for our purposes, I'll say something about each in a minute, but let's treat them, you know, as a, broadly speaking, as an approach. If we're talking more about the specifics, so let me make that clear too. It could be that even if there's no onos or misasek, that the circumstances that require bal yiroa, you know, are, you know, don't require that you attain that threshold. Let me say two opposite extremes, right? One is that the more you think of bal yiroa or bal yiroa in a combination of tashbisu as requiring some sort of involvement with the chametz, right, the more compelling it is to think that even if you fall short of onus and misasek, possibly you still won't have bal yiroa, right? Because to qualify for bal yiroa, you know, you need like a very strong positive kesher with the chametz. Or another way to say it is that any, you know, kind of rejection or indication that you're not interested, you know, might be sufficient, you know, to preclude bal yiroa. You don't need onus and misasek for that. Okay. Now, why would that be true? So just, you know, we're going to get to this obviously much more as we go forward, because the whole bal yiroa bal yimatzeh, right, to begin with is on very shaky ground, or is it? It's a precarious kind of a notion, Well, why do I say that? Eitan Sokolov? What's so precarious about Rabbi Yamatzei to begin with? Objectively speaking, and in terms of things that we haven't discussed yet fully, but we've mentioned it or you know it or...
I mean, so Lashem B'maisa, it...
Okay, but that's only in terms of Malkus. That shouldn't affect Isser, right? But right, okay, it's a passive thing. All right, but Torah says it's a passive thing. It's, you know, okay. But since it is passive, I agree. Well, we'll get to that in just a second. It's passivity, mixas activity. That's something that is definitely a factor here. Right, we'll get to that. What else? What else makes it precarious?
The Ran says that it's Einibirish, that Midaraisa, it's Einibirish Yuso.
Right. I mean, the Ran is invoking that to explain why even a hefker, which falls short in Dine Maminus, might be enough, you know, for this halacha. But he didn't make it up, right? Although he is invoking it, and he's also taking a position on it. But the objective factor that he's invoking is, Eitan?
Ukmar Rahman Bereshus, so...
Yeah, the din of Rabbi Shmuel. Or sometimes it's quoted in the name of Rabbi Shmuel. Namely, Shnei Dvar Meinam Bereshus HaShel Adam, Vasa Nakasuv, Ki Ilu Hu Bereshuso. Chametz Pesach and Bor Bereshus HaRab. So what that means is that, you know, in addition to Eitan's first point, which is, well, this is a very passive thing. Like, what kind of Isser is that? Okay, that might work for you or against you, as we'll soon see. We're going to discuss the Nesivus' view in Makar Chaim. You know, he thinks it actually works against you. But it might work for you, and I'm going to suggest that. Okay, the passivity point. But Rabbi Shmuel also can work for you or against you, frankly. Right? The Ran is a very good example of it working for you. I think it might actually work for and against you same time. Because I think that these things are not mutually exclusive. But again, what is Rabbi Shmuel's point, the bigger point? The bigger point is what? That it is, Eitan?
Not Bereshuscha. You can't be Mevatel.
The inability of Mevatel goes the other way. But right, it's not Bereshuscha, and therefore it shouldn't be Ba'yirah. Yeah. Because if Ba'yirah Ba'yimatzeh, you know, requires some sort of bailus, the fact is that chametz is aser bahana. And given that it's aser bahana, you know, maybe it shouldn't be a problem. Maybe it's, this is a question which we have to deal with more, extensively. I made reference to it, I believe, last year, right? The general question, is Yisrael not considered lachem or not? Right? So, again, the passivity point is number one, correct. This point, Isurei Hana, and the fact that Asa and Akasav Kilo Bereshuso is the second point. But I say that could work for you or against you. The Ran is saying it works against Baal Yirah, meaning it limits Baal Yirah. It basically says the whole Baal Yirah is hanging by a thread. Min HaTorah, it really shouldn't have been. It's a chumrah of the Torah. And that's why the Ran and other Rishonim will say you can get away with lower standards to neutralize Ba'yira than are typically required under parallel circumstances. Again, he's talking about, you know, Bitalas Hefker, right, because of that. However, you might have said, and this is one of the things I want to talk about going forward, the opposite. Namely, in the same way, by the way, it's parallel, it's not my fault, that structurally it's parallel, right? Is Isur Zman Akula or is Isur Zman Chumrah? The same kind of problem. In other words, is Isur Hana and passivity, you know, Akula? We all understand that. That's the Muskal Risho, to be fair. Right? But if you want to be a little bit more, I wouldn't say even iconoclastic, you know, then we need to call upon, you know, the group that, you know, we've already designated as the iconoclastic group, right? And you know who you are. Some of them are nodding, actually. But I'm not saying everybody who's nodding is on the list. Okay. But the idea being that if the Torah said, you know, that this is a violation, a double violation, maybe even though it's passive, and if the Torah said this is a violation, even though it's Yisuri Anon, it seems to be against the rules, you know, in terms of what that implies. So then the Torah made it very easy to violate Bal Yirah. That's the other way to look at it. In which case, not necessarily easier to neutralize. It might be more difficult to neutralize. The Torah said it would have been neutralized according to the normal rules, and it's not, so it isn't going to be neutralized here either. Right? In a way, again, the whole Bal Yirah, as we've discussed, right, is like, what is that? What is Bal Yirah? I came up in that first Tosis, and we talked about the, you know, one day and the Ran and the end, that it's a Siag D'Oraisa. Some people learn Tosis that way. I don't. The Kesef Mishnah is one day, right? The Rashbats, the Manig, the those who think of it that way. What all that shows is, and then of course we had it again when we're talking about the relationship between Achila and Bal Yirah and Tarovas Chametz and Chametz Nuksha, you know, and, you know, the relationship between Perek Aleph and Perek Dalet. So we've seen this already a little bit, and we're going to see it much more. So the point is, when we, you know, wonder, we have two broad, you know, avenues to explore when we're talking about violating Bal Yirah or exempting from Bal Yirah. One being the Klali one, Onus and Misasek, and the other being the Prati one, right? Maybe Onus and Misasek, you know, aren't even needed. That's the cooler way. Or maybe Onus and Misasek aren't going to help you. That's the Chumrah way. Right? So the point is, but if you take the cooler way, right? So then what we could say is you don't need even to achieve Onus and Misasek. Like if we were to grant the assumption that in Kol Torah Kula, this would be considered, you know, Shehi Asah Chametz Birshuscha. But if you take the Kula approach, meaning it's to begin with a Chumrah, V'Eilecha Bo El Chidusho, or this Chumrah is propped up by Nichale, you know, by Rotsa B'Kiyumo, etc., then you get it. You don't need to achieve Misasek and Onus. Okay, so basically there are three approaches. One is Misasek and Onus aren't even going to help you because this is so chamor, you know, and that's the one extreme. And the other extreme is you don't need Misasek, you don't need Onus. Far short of that, you can neutralize Bal Yirah Bayimatze, you know, because Bal Yirah Bayimatze is to begin with a very mechudash halacha, you know, with strikes against it that you just need to, you know, build on the strikes. And then the in-between, you know, is to say, you know, maybe you need to get to a place of Misasek, you know, and Onus. Okay, so these are the three perspectives that I want to pursue. Okay, so let's talk just for a minute before we move forward on the details about the dinim klalim and the dinim pratiim, you know, beyond what I just said. Okay, what I've said till now is, you know, just objectively, what do you think, you know, is going to be the, what do you need here or what's going to be relevant here, klali-wise and prati-wise? Okay, so let's speak for a minute about these categories because, you know, you can't just bypass the details. Like we need to know something about Onus and we need to know something about Misasek if we're going to speak about them intelligently, just as if we're going to speak about the prati, you know, factors in Bal Yirah, right? We need to speak intelligently about them. We need to know about, you know, Rabbi Ishmael and how it's applied. And we need to know about the relationship to Tashbisu, you know, et cetera. Okay, so one at a time. Let's talk about the Klali, since those are Klali. Let's start with them, Onus and Misasek. So onus, we're not going to speak a lot about. We're not going to speak about either of them because they're both massive topics. Just to note that in both cases, right, there's a common kind of problem. Anybody? Well, what's the issue in both cases? Yehuda, you want to take a stab at it? What's the issue in onus and in misasek?
Is it like a maisa that you did? Like, do we view it as if you're putter, but the maisa is still there?
Yeah, in both cases, I mean, bechlal misasek is putter, right? And bechlal onus is putter, with some exceptions, of course. Like misasek is chayiv bechalav and varayos shekeinene, right? And there are cases where onus, you know, doesn't appear to be enough. Right, onus b'tanai. It's a big debate in the Gemara. Right, whether onus helped. Does onus help you in Gibel Averos? Where there's a chiv yaharig valyavor? Right? It certainly doesn't absolve you from the chiyuv. Right? Does it absolve you from an onesh? Like, say, let's say you have a chiyuv limsar atzmacha, to give up your life. Let's say it's either like chil Hashem barabim or shas hashmad. More to the point, maybe it's of barazar gili arayos or shvichos damim. Right? Somebody puts a gun to your head. So clearly, under those conditions, you have a chiyuv still of mesiras nefesh. Let's say of our right velon deharak. So do you get punished? Do you violate? You violated ba'ones, but you were mechuyev, right, to be moser nefesh. That's a major debate among the Rishonim. Right, the Rambam, the Ramban, you know, are of the opinion. The Rambam, Minchas Sodei Torah, Perkei, Ramban in a bunch of places, in Yevamos, other places, are of the opinion that the Ptur of Onus Rachamim HaPatre applies even in a context of Yehoreg Valyavar, where there's a Chiyuv to be Moser Nefesh. And there are other Rishonim, Rabbi David Bonfil, quoted in the Ran and Sanhedrin, and A Day on the Uraim, and One Day in Tosas in Sanhedrin, some Chalafumid base, and other places in Avodah Zarah, you know, and so on. And the details are not important. I'm just trying to highlight that. Now, why is that important? I mean, again, you could say Sirus Nefesh is just a totally different case. But what it does a little bit connect to is the problem of what you said, is to use the language of the Yerushalmi, right? Yerushalmi has this discussion whether onus is command de lo ovid. Like, onus means you didn't do it, or onus meant you're not legally liable for having done it. You could say that, you know, there's also a difference between whether you have a chiyuv of mesiras nefesh or not. But let's say all things being equal, right? If you didn't do it, you didn't do it. Right? So you can't be punished for it. But the other perspective is that onus rachmana patre doesn't have to mean onus keman delo avid. It's a din and onshim. Now, of course, if something is a din and onshim, then you're never going to rely on it as a lechatchila. You're not going to like create circumstances where you can rely on onus. If there is an onus and b'diavad, you might be potter. Right? And maybe in some cases, onus rachmana patre doesn't apply if it's only a p'tur. So this is a big, big question about onus. Misasek, you have the parallel question, right? Is misasek a p'tur of korban? Or is misasek a hafkas maisaver? I think there's something in between both in onus and misasek. First of all, I might be mechalik between onus and misasek in either direction. They're not the same. I mean, they share something in common. The questions are parallel, but obviously it could be mechalik They're not the same. One is a coercive action, right? An action under pressure, but you know what you're doing, right? It's just not done freely. And more than that, it's done, you know, under pressure. Misasek means you do something inadvertently without awareness. There also may be more than one type of misasek, as we know, right? A misasek where you're doing one thing and the other comes, you know, about, you know, as a byproduct or agavorcha, as opposed to, you know, just, you know, the lack of purposiveness to begin with, or lack of even awareness of what you're doing. So there could be there are levels of this onus. Also, there are levels, by the way. Somebody forces you to do something. Could be that's more than onus if they physically force you to do something, right? As opposed to they pressure you and then you do it. It also may depend on the kind of action that we're talking about. Right? Are we talking about a positive action? Here's where we get close to the Mekar Chaim, which we'll specify in a minute. Or a passive action. If you violate Din Torah, right, in a passive way as opposed to an active way, which do you think is more likely, right, to be susceptible to the p'tur of, let's say, Ones or Misasek? Natana, what do you think?
And the question is whether which one is more, if the Torah is telling you if it's an actual action or just Sheval Taz or Kumbase.
Yeah. Which, what would you say logically?
With regards to Ones and Misasek being different, or just in general grouping them together?
No. I'm saying if I gave you two scenarios, let's say, you know, one in which you violated Din Torah, you know, actively, Alyidei Ones or Misasek, and one in which you violated Din Torah passively, right? Alyidei Ones or Misasek. Which one would you think would be more susceptible to, you know, a more acute exemption? Let's say Hafkas Ones.
Right, where you do it actively.
That's a, would be a, more subject to exemption.
Right. No, like where you did an action, we're saying that.
But I'm asking you, so wouldn't you say Kol Shekein if you do it passively?
Right. But there's no, but right. I guess it's just, did you undo, did you do, if you didn't, if it's only Hafkas and Maisa, you didn't do a Maisa, so it might not speak to.
No. Right. So again, this is the Mekar Chaim that we're going to get to in just a second. Right. We'll see how he does it. But I'm just trying to, I guess I'm trying to make the point. Again, everything I'm saying is so far very abstract. And I think it's like, you know, I'm just thinking aloud, you know, with everybody, you know, else, you know, about what the relationships might be. And in a couple of minutes, we're actually going to, you know, very concretely look at what people say. You know, but even I'm just trying to make the bigger point, which is a lot of these issues are very complicated, right? And they are, I think, open to discussion and to debate. So I'm saying whether onus, there's a question about onus, is a question of misasek, whether they're considered to be a ma'isa aveira or not, or just a p'tur onus. A. B, the point I'm making is that you could be mechalek, in my opinion, in either direction. What's worse, a coerced action or a, you know, an unaware action? Hard to say. It's not arbitrary, don't get me wrong. Depends how you, what you think about in terms of actions. But I think you can make a good case, you know, that both of these are issues, both of these are problems, and that they're different problems in different directions. You're not committed. If you think misasek is not a ma'isa aveira, it doesn't commit you to thinking that onus is not a ma'isa aveira, or vice versa, in my opinion. They're just different. They're different. You know, it's a different dynamic, and it has its own compelling reasons, you know, to think about it. That's a second point. A third point is, you know, the question that the Mekar Chaim discusses, and that is, do you think that on this question, you know, of a person who did a who violated something. He did it objectively, right? But he did it either by onus or by misasek, then it would matter if the action was a kumvase that he did or a shevaltase that he did.
Well, I guess
we'll see in a moment that the Mekar Chaim says what you just said. I'm just wondering whether you said it because you saw it, which is totally fine.
Right.
What?
Right, like I already saw it, I already know. But I guess you could say the opposite, that if it works to undo a Maisa or to save you from an actual Maisa, it definitely could work.
I mean, the first time I read Mekar Chaim, exactly. Right. I mean, I think Mekar Chaim is fascinating. We'll see in a moment. We'll read it inside. And Rabbi Kiveger didn't like it. He thought it was wrong. Even though he calls him my friend, the Mekar Chaim. Right? So, you can just imagine all these people, you know. Xos, you know, Sivas, Kiveger. So, but he thinks it's wrong. I mean, I remember being the first time I ever heard or saw this Mekar Chaim, being very struck by it and thinking it was counterintuitive at first glance. And then totally understanding it, which I do, Rabbi Kiveger thinks it's wrong. When Rabbi Kiveger thinks it's wrong, it's not necessarily because he disagrees with the direction that the Mekar Chaim is taking. It could be that he thinks that the direction is correct. The Afal Bichein, it's not enough, frankly. I'll get to that in just a second. But I happen to think Rabbi Kiveger's chiluk, and I've said this in the past quite a few times, I'll say it again just today very briefly, is counterintuitive. He makes a distinction between Shabbos and Kol Torah Kula. I would have thought that the distinction would be in the other direction. So let me get it to each one instead of being so abstract. So the Mekar Chaim says, we'll see how he applies it in a minute. He's talking about chametz. He says, whether or not misasek is a maisa avera or just a p'tur, but you still did a maisa avera, and therefore we're still concerned about it, certainly if we're talking lechatchila, right? And not just a p'tur onesh, a p'tur karban. So you actually might even violate the iser, right? He says that gufa depends. If the action that we're speaking of that is necessary to violate the din Torah is a kumva asay, then you'll say, oh, you did this kumva asay, I'm adding a little bit, without, you know, cognizance, you know, without awareness, you know, that is a big chisaron. Because the whole point is that the avera or the maisa in question is an action, right? And usually actions, you know, require some sort of acknowledgement or awareness or cognizance. So the absence of awareness and cognizance, he's saying, is a bigger chisaron in a kumvase than it is in a shevaltase. If the Torah already said that you violate something, shevaltase, we don't need much of your input. It's that you let it happen. You didn't prevent it. If the Mechayev is not preventing it or it being done passively, which might be two different things also, by the way, get to that, right? Then the absence of thought or even awareness is a smaller problem. That's what the Mekar Chaim says. However, you could have said the opposite. And that is, it's like what we were saying with Eitan just a second ago about, you know, about Rabbi Shmuel. If the Torah is Mechadesh already, that, you know, that you can, or before that, the passivity part, right? That you could passively violate, right? Then, you know, at least to be associated with that, put it this way, you're associated with an action that you do because you did it, right? It wouldn't have happened, you know, without your involvement. So are you mitzuraf to the kumvase that you did b'misasek? The answer is, it didn't happen on its own. But things that happen on their own, right, passively, are you really associated with that if you're not even aware of it? So the need to kind of fortify or buttress or, you know, strengthen your kesher to that action might be greater in a Sheval Tasa than it is in a Kumbase. Maybe there's a difference between the chiyuv based on not preventing something, as opposed to, you know, violating it passively. Maybe there are two types of passive violations, and they're not all the same, which I think is true, and we'll get to that in a second. There's almost like a kumvase sheval tasa, you know, and a sheval tasa, you know, and a non-prevention sheval tasa. I would say maybe three. Okay. Another thing to throw out, but this has not so much to do with us, it does have to do with Yehori Valyavor topics, especially about Azara. Is there a difference when you speak about an action from the perspective of the Gavra, as opposed to from the perspective of the Cheftza? For example, the whole discussion, this I'm not going to pursue beyond this because it's not relevant to us now, in trying to figure out whether or not, let's say, a Maisa Avodah Zarah that was done ba'ones, right, is subject to the din of ones or not, right? There are really two issues. One is, do you not only violate, but do you deserve a punishment, you know, in cases of Yehoreg Vayavor? The other question is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, which discusses on Nundalit and other places, which discusses whether or not there's a shame ne'avad in the Cheftza. If you're over to Avodah Zarah, an animal, let's say, right, ba'ones, does that have the same fate as whether or not you get punished? So I think that there is good reason to think that punishment depends on tziruf legavra. You did it. If you didn't do it, you don't get punished for it. You did it. In addition to doing it, you get punished for it only because you are intensely connected to it. However, to be a chefza shel nevad, which affects the status of the object, is it really important that we put a name, you know, to the actor? Maybe it's enough that objectively, even disembodied, there was an action. This action was done. We don't deny that it was done. Mitzad hacheftza, do we? So that's another distinction, right, to make. Okay. Having said that, let's discuss the question of onus and misasek in chametz. So again, given what we've already discussed, part of the question could hinge on, you know, how you look at Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. Right? Is Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh, it's certainly b'shev al tasa, you know, in the normal pragmatic meaning of that word, right? I mean, you allow chametz to remain. Shehiya is sometimes what we call it. You allow chametz to remain in your rishus. You don't get rid of it. But is Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh's passivity because the chiyuv is, you know, to seek and destroy it? Is it the absence of tashbisu? Right? Or is it Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh? You know, the fact that it, you know, lemaisa, objectively, is in your rishus. Or is it, even more, a kind of quasi, you know, active or mitzuraf sheval tasa? Let's call it not the fact that you didn't, you know, go after, not the fact that you didn't prevent it or touch bisu it, and not the fact that, you know, objectively it's in your rishus, but maybe it's the fact that you were mekayim or meniach the chametz in your rishus. I don't mean that literally, I mean, that you had to have at some point thought about it, bought chametz, retained it in your rishus. I mean, al pidin. Does the fact that you have chametz in rishus and you didn't get rid of it, is that enough? Or is that mugdar, given your obligation, as mekayim or miniach chametz birshuso? Which calls to mind a little bit. What does it call to mind? Gavi?
I'm not sure.
You need to say only one word.
Print Tashbisu?
No. I'm sorry. One word, a person.
I don't recall.
Moshe? Which calls to mind who? Tani?
The Rambam that loves Shimon Maisa?
Correct. Well, the Rambam in general, and even more so the Rambam about Lav Shem B'Mais. Okay, what do I mean about the Rambam in general?
I'm not sure.
Which Rambam? I mean, the same Rambam, but...
I was just referring to the Rambam that...
Yeah, we'll get to that. I do think that's connected. But even before we get to that, Simcha Leib. How come you say Eitan there?
I was trying to be co-host also, but I'm not
You're
sure.
Trying to what?
No, I was trying to also be co-host.
Co-host, that's great.
I'm not sure what term, but I'm sorry.
Even though we've given, I mean, you know, you'll be. Yeah. You're saying because there aren't any other Simcha Leibs.
I don't have a group.
The truth is, even if you had a Simcha, you don't have a Simcha Leib. Yeah. Right. So what do you think? What am I referring to? Before we get, Tani's totally right.
I'm not sure about the Rambam. I don't know.
Okay. Matthew?
I like Tani's answer.
No, I like it too. Right, it's not a popularity contest. Like, Tani's very popular. We know that. Stephen, what do you think?
I don't know. Sorry.
Tzvi? I haven't been good enough looking at the next pages. Romy?
I'm not sure.
Well, point that we've already made. The Tani point is the point that I alluded to that we haven't yet made, which we will. It's not because so many people I need to get to know better. Terrible. Okay, we're going to start, though. Lior?
Sorry, Rebbe, not sure.
What? Something that we've said already. Binyamin, I don't know if we said it when you were in Israel, but I think you were listening, so.
Is Rebbe referring to the Rambam about owning a Avodah Zarah?
No. Nope. Just the same Rambam, just before we get to the second point. Romy, no?
I'm not sure.
Seth? Akiva? Akiva was in both of my screens. That's amazing. Is it the third screen? Oh. Wait, did I call Tzvi already? I did. I was 99%. You're all going to, I mean, you all know it. I'm just not. What have we already said about the
Rambam?
First of all, the language. Hamenia. What's the language of the Rambam?
The Hameniach.
Hameniach.
The Hameniach.
Yeah, not only that, the V, what's the V?
Yes, sir, Hanah.
The connection between Bayi Rabbi Matzeh and Yisra Hanah. Yisra Hanah is passive? How do you violate Yisra Hanah? Not passively, for sure. Right? We already made the point, and I think Josh told us that the Marik also has the Ha'ara. And that is that the Rambam, for some reason, and again, even if he didn't, you know, even if he's not the one who put the numbers there, it doesn't matter, because that's where the Vav comes in. Right? That the Rambam deals together Isser Hana and Bal Yira. V'haminiach, two things. The connection, right, and the language. Why is that important? Now, in light of Tani's, where's Tani? So let's get him back.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Tani wants to go further than that, which is fine, which is the idea that the Rambam says, which is Mechudash, we have to speak about it more, that the reason you don't get Malkus for Bal Yira Bal Yimatze is what? That's a lav shem b'mais. But then the Rambam says that there are two right exceptions. Okay, Yoni's here, Yoni Goldberg, I didn't see that earlier. Okay. There are two exceptions. What are they, Tani?
Kana Hametz Ochimtza.
Kana Hametz Ochimtza. You have to read the whole Rambam just quickly.
In a loke mishnum lo yirav leimatze, elim kin kana chametz v'pesach, o chimtza kedish yasa bo maisa. Avel imahay lo chametz kodma pesach, ba pesach, ba lo biro, elin nicho bershuso, af bish avar al shnei lavin, in a loke min atorah, ibnei shalo asa bo maisa.
Yeah.
U makin osa magis mardus.
Yeah. Hi nicho, again, right? Okay. So this is a very interesting question. Number one, it should be noted, and this is part of the Reb Chaim story, that there's no Gemara that ever says that Bal Yira Bal Yimatze is a lav shem b'mais. Right? And it seems to be a Gemara. We talked about this actually in Chulin a little bit because we were talking about Tmura. And I was giving the other example of Bal Yira Bal Yimatze, you know, where you have two lav. And we'll talk about this more. But the Gemara, you know, later speaks about lav and nita klase, the reason that you're not loka. This is a question a lot of the mefarshim ask on the Rambam. But since the Rambam said it's lav shem b'maisa, which is mechudash, he then came up with a solution, you know, how you can overcome that. That is, if you make your chametz or you buy your chametz. But that's not so that's not so simple either, because it depends on a much bigger issue and argument where there is some complex, you know, evidence in the Rambam. And that has to do with the nature of lav shem b'maisa itself. Right? The Rambam's view, in some places at least, my favorite one to quote, the most dramatic one is the Los Achmod one. But the Rambam says about Los Achmod, in the Perek Aleph Hilchos Gzeila, I don't want to go into details, but you violate Los Achmod when you pressure somebody to selling you, you know, their object, even if you pay full price, says the Rambam. Okay? And then the next line, the Rambam says, however, if you do that, you don't get Malkus. Anybody have the language? Just open. You don't get Malkus because Alav Shem B'mais. So the Ravid jumps in and the Ravid says, right, Ein lecha tema gadol mizeh, or something like that. He says, in one sentence he says that you only violate if you pressure the guy and you get his object. And then the next sentence he tells you there's no Malkus because it's Ein B'maisa. Tani, have it?
Yeah. From the beginning or from the...
Yeah, just the part where he defines...
Okay.
Where he quotes the Medrash Halacha, that what you need.
Yeah, so he says, Ve'en lokin alav zeh v'nish ein bo maisa, ve'en over v'lav zeh achikach hachefetz shechama. Inyan shenemar, v'osach mo kesev ezahav aleyem v'lakata lecha chimet sheish bo maisa.
Yeah, keep going.
The Ravid says...
No, but then he says there's no Malkus. Read the Malkus part, Rambam.
Oh, that was what I just read.
No, I thought he says you only violate under these... Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. You first read that? That was the first line you read?
Yeah, it was the first line.
Right? Okay, sorry. Yeah. So what does Ravid say?
He says...
Lo matzinu tema gadol mizu or something like that?
Lower isi davar tama gadol mizeh. Heichan maisa gadol minatilas achifet. Olhaya lo lomar ibnei shuchai betashlumin shereiv kegazan shuchai lahashav zegzela. Pikach in a loke.
That's a losach. The Ravid solution is not for now. I think that's a fascinating thing, but it's not for us right now. What the takeaway from this is as follows. What the Rambam crystallizes is the following, seemingly, is the following issue. That is, when we speak about lav shein b'maisa, ain't lokin olav, right? What do we mean? What is a lav shein b'maisa? And there are two possible explanations. The pashtos, you would have thought, and a lot of people think, that it refers to how you violate what's called the kiyum ha'avera, or the maisa ha'avera, how you actually implement this transgression, this infraction. What do you do? And did you do it passively or did you do it actively? That's pashtus. In which case, what the Ravid says about the Rambam is totally true, which is if you have an avera that can only be implemented, you know, actively, then that should be a lav shein b'maisa. So it sounds like the Rambam has a different idea, and that is that the din of lav shein b'maisa in lokan olav doesn't refer to the maisa ha'avera or the kiyum maisa ha'avera, how you implement it, but refers more to the character, right, of the maisa, of the avera. Like, what is the nature of this avera? And without going into detail, the Rambam's view of losach mod happens to be that while you require an action to violate, that isn't the actual violation. The action probably just is a reflection or a gauge of the degree to which your attitude, you know, is improper, etc. But it's a Iser Makshava more than it is. It's an Iser Makshava whose intensity, let's say, is measured by your action. The only reason I'm mentioning that is the following. So if there are two aspects in Lav Shein B'maisa, right? One is, how do you violate? Right? And the other is, what is the nature of the violation? Right? And which of these is koveya? And this, there's no simple answer. You could say one or the other, right? Maybe either or both. And I believe there is such a range of the Rishonim, meaning everything depends on how you violate. That makes a lot of sense. Everything depends on the nature of the Isser, irrespective of how you violate. That makes some sense, meaning even if you violate passively, lemaisa, if it's an active, you know, an action, you know, type of avera, maybe. Does it depend on one or the other, or do you need both? Maybe in order to violate, according to the Rambam, and trigger Malkus, the nature of the Iser has to be Yesh B'maisa, and you have to violate it actively. I'm not sure if this is what Tani had in mind. I think that's what he had in mind, right, Tani? Okay, so if that's the case, then what the Rambam says about by Rabbi Matzi is extremely important. It's not a coincidence that he says Ameniach twice. It's not a coincidence that he puts it together, Vehameniach with Isuriana. And what the Rambam is really saying is that while typically the Kiyum Hamaisa is B'Shev Al Tasa, and that too doesn't trigger Malkus, if you have a way, an active way to do it, that'll trigger Malkus, because it isn't in its nature a lav shein b'maisa at all. It's not an iser machshava or a pespat. It's basically the physical action usually that connects to you is passive. But if you activate it, you know, being meniach chametz b'shuscha, just like being, you know, involved in hana of chametz, is a kind of a chefza shalav sheish b'maisa. So that's another factor to throw into the mix. There are two questions. When it comes to onus, when it comes to misasik, and you might be mechalik between them, right? what is there a difference between kumvase and sheval tasa violations? If so, in which direction? Right, in the Makor Chayim direction or in the opposite direction? And then a third question is Bayura Bayimatse a passive or a, you know, on some level, quasi-active? The expectation that you'll get rid of your chametz, which is not followed, right? Or the implication that you are bonded with your chametz, and therefore it remains in your rishos. If that's considered mekayim or meniach, even if you do distinguish between kumvase and sheval tasa, right? Maybe this is not an obvious sheval tasa. Okay. So having discussed all this, let's speak more concretely about what people actually say. So I think that in the Rishonim, there are at least two references to onus. And in the Achronim, there's this whole discussion about Misase. Okay. In the Rishonim, there's one very clear reference, I think, that there's a Ptur Onus in certain circumstances, at least, in Chametz. Okay, where do we find that? Moshe Wahlberg, to get to know Moshe better.
Sorry, Abby, could you repeat what you said?
I'm saying in the Rishonim, now I want to talk, so far I've kind of sketched out, there's something called Onus, there's something called Misasek, right? What about Ba'yirua as it fits in? Is it subject to, you know, this or not? Now I want to get concrete. Well, we were a little concrete already with the Rambam, but we'll get more concrete. So in the Rishonim, do any of them suggest that you could be exempt from the violation of Ba'yirua Ba'yimatzeh because of Onus?
I think that's probably what Rabbeinu David says when he says "Lo'in l'tar l'malch hasharis," and probably what the Ran means by chazaka as well.
I think you could have thought that for the Ran. I don't think it's correct. And isolation, I agree with you. When Ran says that the chazaka you rely on chazakos in Dinei Torah, it could be he's saying, you know, onus rachmana patre. I think when we look at it more carefully, as we did on Tuesday, that we saw that he's saying more than that. Rabbeinu David, but I guess in isolation, if you were just to take that line in the Ran, I would agree with you. And in Rabbeinu David, I think it's a trickier question, because what does he say, Moshe? Quite right? Meaning, if you did a bedika, but turns out that if there was chametz, he definitely thinks you're potter. And he says, "Nitna Torah lemalachei asharis," which sounds like that it's a kind of an onus. Question is that all there is to it? Or is it also aided by, you know, the second big question? Okay, we have to deal with two big questions here. The, you know, the potrim haklalim of kalatara kula, right, and the specific, you know, requirements, the kula and the chumra, of Ba'yirua Ba'yimatzeh. Do you think that the Rabbeinu David, I agree with you. I think when he says, L'nin Torah L'malachei HaShares, I think he is, you know, speaking about the category of onus. But is he speaking about it in a vacuum, meaning you violated all the conditions of Ba'yirua Ba'yimatzeh, you know, as far as they go, but you did a bonus and therefore you're potter? Or is he also saying something in his piece about Ba'yirua Ba'yimatzeh? What do you think, Moshe? We're going to read it inside in just a second. Maybe I'll have you read it.
I'm not sure either way. I don't see any evidence either way. Like, I can't think of anything.
I'm talking about especially the rest of the piece.
I'm trying to think, I'm not sure. I look at the piece.
Does he think that the meaning then, because let's say it this way, do you think that the Ran and Rabbeinu David are saying that Bedika works because Bedika is the pushes you over the top to be considered onus. And that's the end of the story?
Well, I think it's possible that
even though it's not a kiyum at all and has nothing to do with Bali Rabbi Matzah itself?
I mean, it's hungry. The run, it sounds much more like there's the idea of hashvasa, and hashvasa is.
Oh, that's what the reason I don't read the run. That's what I'm saying. I think if you only had in isolation the line of the chazakas in the run, or only in isolation the line of lo dibra Torah le malachi ashares, I would agree with you totally. But then what I would say is, if you ask me the question, is Bedika is effective. They're both trying to explain that Bedika's chametz is effective, and therefore if you do Bedika and it turns out that you missed some chametz, right, you're not going to violate Bali Rabbi Matzah. But what I want to know is, does that have anything to do with Tashbisu? I'm sorry, does that have anything to do with Tashbisu or with the nitty-gritty, the specifics of Bali Rabbi? Or is that just a general din? It seems like you violated Bali Raya. That this doesn't reflect anything about Hilchas Chametz. Just that the Bedika here is a mechanism for Pteranus. Do you understand what I'm asking?
I think so.
So it seems in the Ran clear that he's saying much, much more than that. Because what's the Ran trying to say? We read the Ran already. So the Ran thinks that the word Tashbisu includes Bedika. Correct? Well, there are really actually two formulations in the Ran, or three formulations. I would say the following, if we're going to start with the Ran. There are really three formulations in the Ran. Right? There are parts of the Ran, like the part that you're talking about, where he talks about the Chazaka, where it sounds like it's just a Pteranus, or Misa, whatever you want to call it. In which case, there's no need to say that Bedika is a Kiyum and Tashbisu, or Bedika has anything specifically to do with Bali Raya at all. Bedika is just an objective factor that puts you over the threshold for onus. The chiddush in that would be dual. Number one, that you need Bedika for that. Like that's what I was saying about Bali Tosas the other day. Why not just say this chametz sheni yadu in your shus? So you don't know what's there. You're misasek. That probably doesn't make you onus, but it might make you misasek. And who actually does say that? Not that misasek. I mean, the question of misasek is the question that the Sivas is dealing with. When the Sivas deals with the question, why isn't there a Ptur misasek? He's not talking about Bedika, correct? He's talking about Chametz, She'eno, Yadua, B'li Bedika. He starts off by saying, everybody have the line of the Makar Chaim? I'm just going to introduce it. I'm going to get back to it in a minute. What does he really say? Rabu Adeus Shahirba Shaharbe Poskim Sphir the Bedika Blabito Daraisa. He's talking about this topic. The Tamam, the Tzarek Bedika Bidaraisa, Kivin Shudav Ramatsui. The silver gum came to Kiyesh Chametz Bebayis Afshel Yodabo. Tami Lo Ochel Chela B'Shogeg. Kamosha Kasev Amagen Avram. Should we look these up? B'Simin Taflam Edalin Siv Katan Hey. So Lo Yira'eh Mash Mashal Yeh B'Mokom Aroy Liros. The kivin dim yesh chametz avid isura boi bedika kedei shelo yasa isur b'shogeg. What does he mean by that? So he starts off by saying, let's say take question number one. If you have chametz shelegamri eina yadua, is that subject to Bali Rabbi Matzah? Forget about without bedika for the moment. So it sounds like what he's saying is, Yes. According to Tur, according to the Magen Avraham, according to some of the Rishonim, Chometz She'eini Yadua can violate Bal Yirua. Does anybody disagree with that?
I think the Ran does.
I'm sorry?
I think the Ran does because...
Without a Bedika. Without a Bedika?
I'm saying he doesn't even have a Havamina that without a Bedika.
I mean, the Ran is speaking about Bedika and the effect that it has. Well, we're trying to figure out... That's why it's a little bit of a complicated topic. We're trying to figure out three cases. I mean, two cases, but three scenarios, three issues. Let's say if Chometz She'eini Yadua did no Bedika whatsoever. Like Midichayev or Potter. Right? Mitzad Dvarim Klalim and Mitzad Bal Yirah. That's question number one. Question number two is, you have Chametz, you did a Bedika, right? And there was Igloi Kane Shmaya Galia, that there was Chametz that you missed, but you never found out about it. Or you found out about it after Pesach. That's an A and a B. That's a case which there's not much discussion about, but that's, it's a circumstance, right? Then there's a third case. You did a bedika. It's Chometz She'eini Yadua. You did a bedika, and then you found it afterwards on Pesach. That's a case of the Gemara. Shema Yimtza Gluska Yafa. But the question about Lamafreya. Correct? And again, I'm interested to know Mitzad Mitzasek and Ones? Or Mitzad Tashbisu, Bal Yirua, some combination thereof. Okay? Those are different cases. On Chometz She'eini Yadua, you know, Beli Bedika, clearly there are a lot of Rishonim are of the opinion that you violate Bal Yirua Bayimatze. And that's what the Mekor Chaim is dealing with, the Tur and then the Poskim, Magen Avraham. Who disagrees with that? Tosis, right? Zev Hurt mentioned to me last, you know, Shear. I was, of course, going to bring it up. And the Mekor Chaim, of course, speaks about it as well. That, you know, maybe when in assessing Tosis's view, we're going to have to finish this on Sunday, right? Maybe we need to look at Tosis also on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, in the beginning of the second parak. Tosis there says explicitly, one second, that Chometz She'eini Yadua doesn't violate Bal Yirua Bayimatze. Right? The Ein Over Mishum Bal Yatmin is Tosa Dur Masal V'Yashmina in the beginning of the second parak. And the Mekor Chaim also quotes it. Ein Over Mishum Bal Yatmin De Bal Yatmin Nafgala Min La Yimatze Vein Zamatzo Yikivin Shein Yadua Heichanu Mashma De Kol Kamu De Lo Mishkachas Lo Avar Be Bal Yirua. According to Tosis, it could be that's why Tosis maybe doesn't think that you don't need Bedika for Chometz She'eini Yadua. But in Yadua we mean, you know, again, our two, you know, let's say it's Eino Matsui Shiyeh Sham. Okay, hard to know. What would he say about, you know, it's Matsui Ve'eino Yadua? Presumably you would violate. Okay. So the Maram Chalava, let's make it just go one by one. Maram Chalava on Vav Amud Beis says explicitly that if it's Chometz She'eini Yadua, a certain kind of Chometz She'eini Yadua anyway, that there's a Ptur Onus. Again, I probably would have said Mizasek, but this is on Vav Amud Beis. We talked about Shema Yimtza Gluska Yafa. He says, She'im lo nodala meolam onesu. V'la yuchoshin lezeh shepata legamri. That's Maram Chalava on Vavmud Beis. Even if you found it later. But at the time, you had no, you know, inkling that there was chametz there. Okay? On the Beis, Maram Chalava seems to take a little bit of a different tack. Here he talks about the question whether bitul applies to chametz sheni yadua. Right, something we still have to speak about. He says, "Dimina Torah v'bitul bi'almasagi al kol chametz she'en yadua lo." The Michtam takes the view. It's a girsan the Rambam. Whole discussion with Kesa Mishnah and the Chachmei Provence are very active on this topic. We'll get to it. That bitul may not work. Right, the Ran disagrees, as you saw. Right, the Ran goes out of his way to tell you disagrees because he knows that there are Rishonim who disagree with him. Right, according to the according to some of the Chachmei Provence, bitul does not work in chametz she'ena yadua. I'm sorry, in chametz yadua. Sorry. Bitul only works on chametz she'ena yadua. So what's the point of the Michtam? Why does he tell us this? In part, he's discussing this issue. Min haTorah b'bitul b'almasagi al chametz she'eino yadua, but chametz yadua not. What's the implication? That chametz she'eino yadua, you violate by Rabbi Matzah. Well, how does that fit in with what he wrote on Vav Amud Beis, which is that there's a pteronus? Unless you want to say that there are two levels of chametz she'eino yadua. Right? There's chametz she'eino yadua bizman, you know, habitol, v'habedika, or whatever. But it was, you know, me'olam haya, you know, yadua lo. Just like Tosis, it's not clear that Tosis is saying all chametz she'eino yadua is no ba'ira. Maybe only chametz she'eino yadua, you know, even b'makom she'ein machnisim. Hard to know with Tosis. And in the Michtam, it's hard to know when you look at Dav Beis and Dav Vav whether there aren't two different types of eini yadua. But there's a certain eini yadua at minimum, which he thinks is subject to onus. The Tur and the Beis Yosef disagree, right, with both Tosis, right, and the Michtam, presumably. And the question is why? So that's what bothered the Makor Chaim. And that's where he came up with his big chiddush. And that is that Misasek, he probably says, has to say the same thing about Ones. Either this isn't Ones, it's not coercive, whatever. He says the following. It's Davar Matzah Lias Chametz Bebayis, maybe even according to Tosis. Right? Even if you don't know about it, you violate. V'kivin dim yesh chametz avid isura boi bedika kedei shalayasa isur b'shogeg. What's not clear about the Makor Chaim is what does he mean by this? Does he mean that bedika is a rule changer here? It changes the outcome? Or does he mean it's good to do bedika because you'll find 80% of the cases you'll find chametz, which if you didn't find, right, you would violate for. But let's say you did bedika, and you didn't find chametz, and later on there was chametz, you found it, or later on, or it just happened to be there. Do you violate in that case too, according to the Makor Chaim? Not clear. So what does bedika do for you? Bedika is just, it saves you in 80% of the time, or it saves you in 100% of the time. That's not clear in the Makor Chaim. Get back to that. But his question is, why do you even need it for the 80%? L'chor nira muchach k'divrayim mehod armin b'dikas chametz saraisa b'bitol b'yal masagi mucha behedet b'dikei nevedrabanon rak mishim desagi b'bitol mashma d'belo b'bitol hava b'dikas saraisa. So the Makor Chaim says a couple of different things. Right, he starts off by saying, maybe you need a bedika because this is a matsui iser. But not clear, you know, whether the bedika again is a hedge for the cases that you'll find, or even a bigger patur for if you don't find it, how that would work. The second point is that it seems like that he believes that, you know, like the Rashi Udi Imam, that the simple pshat is that bedika is a din doraisa. But he even thinks that the words of the Gemara imply that. That's very mechudash. Right? When the Gemara says bedikas chametz drabanan midoraisa bebitul bialma, he thinks that means mashma, the below bitul have a bedika doraisa. Okay? But then comes the main question, and that is, ein lahakshus amagan Avram, demedam osa liyoch chogeg chelav b'shogeg, chelav b'gufei, v'chelav gufei, lo nikra shogeg rak kishem mechavin la'achila. Av gashen mechavin la'achila klal, kigon kasav aroku b'lo'o, lo mikri shogeg, rak misasek. So the question Makor Chaim is posing is, it seems like the post can think that chametz she'eno yadua lo is chayiv, unless you do bittol, right? Or according to him, also, bedika helps, or bedika just, you know, eliminates 80%. I'm not sure. Clearly, according to the Ran and Reder David and Ram Chalava, they think bedika eliminates 100%. That's not so clear about the Makor Chaim. But his question is, why don't you say the Ptur Klali of Kol HaTorah Kula of Misasek? Chalav and Varayos are Chayiv Shekeinena, but otherwise it'd be Pater Misasek, because you did it, but you weren't, you know, you didn't have Kavana. So you don't have Kavana Bayirah either. You don't know you have Chametz. If you know you have Chametz, it's a different story. Now, this question of the Makor Chaim is not in a case where there's Bedika. This is absent Bedika. Chametz sheni yadua, believe Bedika, you should be Pater. I mean, Tosis does believe that, actually. Except Tosis may be qualifying it, b'makom she'eno matzui. Does that mean a place shelo machnisim bo'sa chametz, or it means you just don't happen to know that there is any? And the din of makom she'machnisim chametz is totally part of the din de Rabbanan of Bedika. I'm not sure about that. But at least Tosis has a scenario of chometz sheni yadua, which is pater legamri. B'li bedika. Exactly what the Makor Chaim is looking for. However, in my opinion, Tosis is p'tur. I'm not sure how expansive it is. Tosis is p'tur is midin misasek or onus? Eitan, what do you think? In the second parak.
He says lo yimatzei is like not much. It seems like it didn't. Yeah,
exactly. It sounds like Tosis thinks that's why it also may be more restricted. In Achanami, without bedika, chametz sheni yadua can be potter. But that's not a din in Kol Torah Kula, applying Kalalim. Sorry, try to finish up quickly. That is a din specifically in Bayi Rabbi Yimatzei. It requires Davar Hamatsui Lo. On the other hand, whatever the Sefer, I'm not sure how expansive the Sefer Michtam is on Vav Mebeis. He too is saying that Chomet Sheni Yadua does not violate Bayi Rabbi Yimatzei. But he says it's midin anus. Anus is a larger idea. Now, Rabbeinu David and the Ran, right, they don't address Chomet Sheni Yadua b'li bedika. So we'll get to them in just a second. They address with bedika. So far, I'm talking about b'li bedika. Let's continue with b'li bedika or b'li or chomet sheni yadua. How specific, we don't know, but b'li bedika. So what's the Mekor Chaim's answer to this problem, Moshe? Why isn't there a universal p'tur?
I haven't seen the Mekor Chaim.
Did you get a chance to see it?
No, I haven't. Sorry.
Okay. Ezra? Wilds?
Yeah, I think just that since it's Sheval Tasa, so we don't say
exactly tasa. What Netanel quoted earlier. You have the language?
Yeah, let me just get it.
Nira Dadafka, you have that part? This is like a blockbuster, famous Mekor Chaim on Mesasek.
Yeah, Nera Dadafka Badavar Shasra Torah Lasos Maisa Bizar Minan Dul Asra Torah Lasos Maisa Rakbi Kavana Badavar Shane Miskavin Mutter Havok Shasra Torah Davar Shainbo Maisa Gion Haka Shasra Torah Shaloya Chamez Beso I feel Shane Miskavin Asr.
Yeah. So the assumption here is that the Chiddush here is that whether Misasek, you know, there are two things. Number one, the assumption is that Misasek is Afka Samaisa Avera, not just a Ptur Korban. Correct? Number two, that Kumbase and Sheval Tasa actions matter when it comes to applying the din of Misasek. Now again, where did he get that from? I mean, the classic Misaseks are all a day Maisa. Right, Chalavim, Arayos, the Shabbos cases. The question is, Kol Shekein, B'Shev Al Tasa, because you've done even less, and therefore we need to, or the capacity to connect it to you is even more tentative. If you take away the machshava, what is there? I mean, everybody clear? Or the opposite. He's saying the opposite. He's saying no. When a maisa is mechayev, then misasek isn't considered a maisa, and that's a problem. But when you're bailus, or your need to prevent, you didn't prevent, or you, it's simply the fact of your bailus, or it's your passive action. Whatever the three, I'm not sure where he draws the line. When that's mechayiv, who cares that you're misasek? Well, you could say misasek, it's not a maisa. You don't need a maisa. You need him to have acted, or you need that he not be the bailiff, or you need that there not be a Sheval Tasa. That's the Chiddush of the Mekor Chaim. But all I'm saying is that even within the Mekor Chaim, you could have said, well, maybe Bayi Rabbi Yimatzei is considered Mekayim or Meniach Pershuso. Now, that's still not Chalav Varayos, and it's still not Malacha B'Shabbos, because physically it's still not Kumbaseh. But even from the perspective of Mekor Chaim, maybe that's a place to draw the line. That's why I was quoting the connection to Yisrana, the language of Hameiniach, the idea that you could have a lav yesh bo maisa in Bal Yirua if you do it al yedei kinyan and asiya. Not so pasha. Rabbi Kiveger, discussing the problem of Misasek generally. Josh, you saw it? Josh Appel? Okay, great. So he's really talking more generally first about this question. Go ahead. We'll finish in a couple of minutes. I just want to get through concretely some of the Rishonim here so we can finish this up Sunday and move on, hopefully. Simon Ches is the famous piece where he talks about Misasek. He starts off by wondering, Misha'eni yodea shezeu malachas iser, mechuyavim lafrisho. See somebody doing a ma'isa avera, b'misasek, are you obligated to give musar to be mafrisho? Maybe he's not doing anything. Right, Josh? So then he goes on to develop the idea. What's his idea? It's a p'tur karban, right? P'tur chatos. May not even be a p'tur of all karbanos. You're certainly doing something wrong. You're certainly doing a ma'isa avera, right? There's a p'tur chatos. What about other karbanos? What about other onshim? Not even so clear, but certainly there's a ma'isa avera and a nisa. And then he has an important distinction, which we've talked about many times. Not so much this year. What's the distinction, Josh? Remember? Okay. Aaron?
Yeah, the difference between Misasek on Shabbos and Misasek in Kol HaTorah Kula?
Yeah. He says, this question that I'm asking, whether Misasek is a Ptur Karban or Misasek is a Hafkaz Maisa Vera, I think that you could be Mechalek between two types of Misasek. And here again, I think it's counterintuitive. That doesn't mean, Chalila, that it's wrong. I totally understand it, but it takes a muskal sheni to understand it. Meaning, what is the misasik of Shabbos as opposed to Kol HaTorah Kula in the case, structurally, Aaron?
Is it niskavein la...
Yeah, you're right. Niskavein lachtoch what?
I can't.
Well, two cases. Niskavein lachtoch v'chubar zeh v'chatach m'chubar acher. That's one case. And the second case is niskavein lachtoch talush v'chatach m'chubar. Which one is the Kol HaTorah Kula? Which one is the Shabbos?
I believe niskavein lachtalush is the Shabbos.
No. Then it wouldn't be counterintuitive. Remember, we're machmir in Shabbos. I'm sorry, we're mekel in Shabbos. Sorry. So that's...
Oh.
The Shabbos, right, because of Melech Smach Shabbos Asr Torah, even the skavein l'mechubar zeh v'chatach mechubar acher v'lo ola makshavto, even that's potter b'dim Melech Smach Shabbos. But the skavein l'achtoch mechubar v'tolosh v'chatach mechubar, he said that would be even called Tarakula, Ba Pratla Misasek. Okay, so if I asked you this question, I've said this in the past, but I'll just repeat it very quickly, hopefully. The discrepancy in the Misasek is you think you're doing permissible action, and in fact, you're doing a prohibited action. As opposed to, you know you're doing a prohibited action, but you want to do prohibition A, or you want to get result A, and you get result B. Which is a bigger gap in his level of intention? Kol HaTorah Kula or Shabbos? Clearly Kol HaTorah Kula, right? So if I said to you, Rabbi Kiveger distinguishes and says our two Misaseks. One is Afkos Maisa Avera, the other is a Ptur Onesh. Do you think the bigger gap is the Ptur Maisa Avera or the smaller gap? That's a no-brainer. He would have said the one where the discrepancy between what he thinks he's doing and what he is doing is greater is the one where he's less associated with the action. And the other one is you know, we made a mistake. But the mistake isn't on the action. It's on the result. So he's potter, correct? That's what I would have said. Rabbi Kivager says the opposite. But what he says is totally understandable, because you need to understand the role. This is not our topic now. It was in Chulin a little bit, and above a comma the year before also, of Melech and Machsheves Asra Torah. He thinks that Melech and Machsheves Asra Torah is not a technicality. It determines that the way that you relate to the action is also part of the Hagdara of it as an action. So that higher threshold actually translates into a higher, you know, requirement of tziruf and of action. Therefore, even though it's counterintuitive, what he thinks is that the misasek of Kol Torah Kula is a p'tur, and the misasek of Hilchos Shabbos is a hafka. Then he relates to Josh. This is the part that's relevant. He quotes Yedidi. Go ahead. You have it? For Isi Li Yedidi. You obviously think that's chilik is dachuk. Now, that doesn't mean, by the way, that he's saying, if anything, you should say the opposite. I think you could argue with the Makor Chaim, just like I think you could argue with Rabbi Kivager, but you could totally understand it. I think you can understand the Makor Chaim and you could argue with it. You could say the opposite. He doesn't say that I want to say the opposite. He just may think that it's not enough of a distinction. They're equal, or they're, even if they're unequal, right, that inequality is not enough to distinguish here. So what's his solution? It's only a p'tur chatas. What does that have to do with Bayu Rabbi Matzai? So you could maintain the view, whether you think it's a maisa or not a maisa, or a quasi-maisa for the Rambam and so on, that would still work for Rabbi Kivager. So both Rabbi Kivager and Makor Chaim have answers to the question, right, why there's no p'tur. But it could be that there's another answer to that question that I want to throw out. And that is the opposite of what we're going to say in a second, but for the same reason as we discussed. And that is, maybe for particular reasons of Bayura Bayimatze, not just objective reasons like active, passive, you know, and so on. Maybe because, like what we said, on the one end, you have two opposite tendencies. There could be three perspectives in Bayura. One is treat it like you would treat Kol Torah Kula. That's what Makor Chaim is doing. That's what Rabbi Kivager is doing. This is without Bedika. Without Bedika. Right? We'll get back to the Bedika in just a second. What I'm saying is, you might say two opposite views. You might say, you know what? Makor Chaim is right. Rabbi Kivager is right. There's no misasek in Kol Torah Kula here. Right? And therefore, what? Chametz Sheni Yadua, why is it Potter? Well, number one, you might say, well, it isn't. It's Chayiv. Tosus thinks it's Chayiv. You might say it's Chayiv. I'm sorry. Why? Because, well, let me go back a second. If we take it out of the Klali, there are two ways to take it out of the Klali. Sorry, I'm saying it wrong. One way is you do have onus and misasek. But it's easier to violate by your Abayim Matzeh, not because of its objective conditions like passive, active, etc., but because of the nature of that chiyuv, then Kol Torah Kula. Because in Bayur Abayim Matzeh, all you need for Bayur Abayim Matzeh reasons, right, is the fact that you didn't do a tashbisu. Again, the way to frame it, right? The whole Balyira, as we say, is hanging by a thread. If you want to see that not as a kula, but as a chumra, and nonetheless, even though it's defying the regular rules, your obligation to negate this chametz, because it's so toxic, you know, that even it should be associated with you passively, etc. Or as long as you didn't go after it, your chayiv, that's enough. So say, oh, the conditions for onus and mitzasek are here. But that's it doesn't apply to Bayiroa. Bayiroa shiny. The mechayiv there is anything less than tashbisu. Or neutralizing Bayiroa actively. That would be one, that would be a completely different way to explain the position of the Tur and the Magen Avraham and so on. At the same time, when we look at Tosfos, who say that there's Chametz Sheni Yadua, again, so far, B'li B'dika, that it's Chametz Sheni Yadua for which you're Patur, right? We might say, well, why is that? And the Maram Chalava and Vav Mudeis, there's at least some sort of Chametz Sheni Yadua for which you're Patur. Again, we don't know exactly the parameters, which ones. We're not sure. Right? Both Tosis and Ram Chalava imply that it's not across the board all Chametz Sheni Yadua. Acutely Eini Yadua. Okay, but just not with Bedika, nothing to do with Bedika. Acutely Eini Yadua because it's not a Mokum Shematsui Bo, or because, you know, you never had any knowledge of it or thoughts of it or within Shloshim Yom. Okay? So an acute Eino Matsui. One could have said all an acute Eino Yadua. One could have said all Eino Yadua. Okay, so why are you Patur? Maybe Maram Chalava says, because of Anus. That sounds like it's universal. But Tosus doesn't say because it's Anus. Tosus says the parallel opposite of what I just said. It's because of the Dinim of Bayira. Not, you know, default your chayiv unless you take action and root it out. The other way, it's hanging by a thread. I don't know if you need this even. It's hanging by a thread because of Rabbi Shmuel. It's hanging by a thread because it's also passive. Or maybe you don't need it to be hanged by a thread. The point is that for Bayira, you need Davar Matsui. Right, you have to have a relationship with this object. Rotsa b'kiyumo, maybe. And Eini Yadua, or this level of Eini Yadua, is not that. That's not a universal patur. That's internal to Bayira. Okay, now, what about Bedika in all of this? And this is where we are. I'm going to stop because I'm going over time. What does Bedika do with all this?
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Isn't it important that Tosos doesn't say that it's Eino Yadua because it's Eino Matsui? He says it's Eino Matsui because it's Eino Yadua.
Right. I just wonder, I'm just wondering aloud, what does Tosos think about Chametz She'Eino Yadua b'makom she'machnisin as a Chametz?
I know, but Tosos, they
see. Does he think that that also is Potter? Mibayira or not? That's the question I'm asking. That's where I guess, I think what you're saying is true. And whether what I'm saying is a factor is going to determine that case. That's will he even say, because again, for Tosis, Bedika Chametz is Drabanan Shema Yochal. So it could be that even Mokom Shemachnisin is because, like Korah, you know, and it's falling down. It's all about that. It has nothing to do with Eini Yadua. Right? I'm just not sure that that's true. So I it's a good ha'ara. I'm just not sure, you know, what, you know, how far Tosfos goes with it. Okay. Now the question is, what about Bedika? So here you could take, you know, practically, there seems to be a big machlokas on Rishonim, whether the Bedika helps you for Bayira Doraisa at all. Right? You could say according to Tosis, you know, it doesn't help at all. It could be because you don't need it at all, like we just said, if you are more expansive in Tosis's view about Chametz Sheni Yadua. That's what Zev was trying to say to me the other day. And I think as it depends on what Nathan just raised as well. Right? So Bedika could be irrelevant because you don't need it. The onus or the internal bayirua factor is good enough. Bedika is lomalav lomori. Or it could be the bedika is irrelevant. It's not a dindoraisa because it doesn't make a difference. Because if rechayev rechametz sheni yadua, then a faulty bedika doesn't help you either. Now, let's assume so that those are two possibilities in Tosis, essentially. You don't need the bedika, therefore it's not daraisa. Or when you need it, it's not good enough. It doesn't help. Now, only because it was turned out to be a bedika betos. Right? Mefurash. Like it was so betos that you even found it on Pesach. Let's say you didn't find it till after Pesach, or it was Kamishmaya Galia. Even that's the failure? I mean, it sounds like the Ran is playing with the idea that never finding it or finding it on Pesach would matter. He's rejecting it, but he's playing with it. So this is a question. The Rishonim who think Bedika to be Chalos Drabant, never having any impact on Raisa, they either don't need it or they think it doesn't make enough of a difference. But the Rishonim who think that it does make a difference, now, we could have two explanations. This is what I want to finish up with on Sunday. One is it makes a difference because it's the difference on the onus and the misasek side. When it comes to onus and misasek, eina dome, eina yadua, and eina yadua ubadak. I think that's one possibility. On the other side, you could say that bedika is koveya, either as a kiyum in tashbisu, here we have the three formulations, or because it obviates the chiyuv of tashbisu, or because even more directly, it addresses the mechayiv of bayira bayimatze, but either of those three specifically neutralize bayira, nothing to do with onus or misasik. Okay? So that's why I wanted to just document. That's where I think Rabbeinu David, and the Ran, and then the Maram Chalava, and the Ritva, I think this is where they're saying different things, as well as the Makor Chaim himself, which I want to finish with. Okay, so I want to finish all these Makoros for sure.